Republican lawmakers in Lansing are turning up the heat under the Michigan Board of Education. It all stems from the board's proposed guidelines on how schools should address the needs of gay and transgender students. Republican Representative Tim Kelly of Saginaw introduced a resolution that would completely eliminate the 8-member state board, which has a 6-2 Democratic majority. And GOP members on the House Appropriations Committee, led by Representative Phil Potvin, want to strip out money to reimburse the members of the board when they travel to and from meetings. With us now is the vice president of the State Board of Education, Cassandra Ulbrich. Welcome, Cassandra.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Representative Kelly says the board is, in his words, I'm quoting him, an archaic relic of the past, and that Michigan doesn't need it, and he wants the governor to appoint a director of a state department of education. Why do you think Michigan does need the board?
Well, first of all, it goes down to what would you rather have? Would you rather have an elected board that's accountable to the people, or would you rather have a bureaucrat who's accountable only to one person? We've seen what happens when we have bureaucrats who are accountable only to a single person, and that's not something we need to do with our education system. It's also, the Constitution in Michigan is very clear on the folks who that created the Constitution wanted education to be something that was kind of above and beyond partisan political options of the day. And one of our most important roles is to hire and fire the state superintendent. The great thing about this is it creates stability. So, for example, in the last 10 years, we've had one turnover with the state superintendent in Michigan. On the other hand, if you look at the last 5 years, the governor has appointed or reappointed 5 different education advisors. So to eliminate the State Board of Education would actually to create unnecessary instability in our education system.
Now, Representative Kelly does not think his resolution will get the needed 2-thirds majority, but he said he put it out there to remind you and the board just who controls the purse strings. So it's getting politicized.
True. And that's always been the case. We understand that the legislature controls the purse strings. But I will say this. We've had some members of the legislature over the last month who've come to us. They've talked to us. They've come to the state board meetings. They've sent letters. They've sent emails. And we welcome all of that. In fact, we appreciate it. But then you have some legislators who apparently think that utilizing their position of power to threaten or coerce is the better way to communicate. Can they do it? Absolutely. Is it effective? No, it's not.
I want to move over to these proposed guidelines regarding LGBT students in Michigan's schools. Now, these are just recommendations, correct? They're not required?
No, they're not. In fact, they haven't even been passed. Let me explain for just a moment how we do our work at the State Board of Education, because there's been some miscommunication that this was done behind closed doors. Actually, we followed the same process that we follow for pretty much all policy development. What happens is once we identify a policy area, in this case, we had schools actually, from what I understand, come to the department or to members of the State Board and say, because of Title IX, we need some guidance. So what happens at that point is we develop a work group. And the work group consists of content experts, educators, parents, mental health professionals, whoever should be on that particular work group. And that group goes off and does research, develops a draft, and submits it to the State Board of Education. It is then released at a public State Board of Education meeting. That's the first time that it becomes public. We don't vote on it at that point. It's a draft. Then it goes off for a public comment period. Changes are made based on public comment, and then it comes back to the state board. At that point, we can either pass it, reject it, or request additional changes to be made. So that's the process that we're in right now. And at the end of the day, you're right. These are guidance. That's all it is. Local districts can choose to use it. They can choose not to use it. They can choose to use part of it. It's completely up to them.
Cassandra, GOP lawmakers say they're angry the board didn't consult them before releasing these guidelines for public comment. What might that have accomplished, approaching the legislature before releasing those guidelines for public comment?
I'm not sure what that would have accomplished. Like I said, we're following the same process that we always follow, and we do this on a regular basis. So really what it comes down to is I think what they're expecting us to do now is to start getting into their heads and deciding what they might be interested in and what they might not be interested in. And they have the same opportunity as everybody else to express their opinions and to try to impact what goes into the guidance document. So I'm not quite sure at what point we need to start clearing everything we do with the legislature in the off chance that they might take exception to it.
I'm speaking with the Vice President of the State Board of Education, Cassandra Elbridge. What do you make, Cassandra, of the concerns that have been put forth by some lawmakers and school administrators and certainly the public on that public comment website over the proposed guidelines? I mean, they certainly tend to be focused on the use of bathrooms and safety, and also a lot of heat about the fact that informing parents would be optional.
Right. So I think it's wonderful that we have so much engagement. I think the more input that people provide, the better the document that will come out at the end of the day. So I encourage people to continue to share their thoughts and share their opinions, and we will definitely take them all into consideration. It's all important. Like I said, right now it's a draft, and will things change? I'm sure that they will. So let me address some of those concerns from my perspective. I think what the intent of the guidance really is to say, and it actually says it in the guidance in several places, is that it encourages parental involvement, it encourages conversations with families, and it encourages the sharing of information. I think the intent of the hesitation there is a recognition that in some cases it might be dangerous for the student involved, that there may be some cases where, you know, sharing information with parents that a student has shared with a counselor, for example, at school, could actually put that student in danger. And we want to make sure that that is taken into consideration at any time that someone in a school system is sharing information about any of their students. They need to take the safety of that student into consideration.
Cassandra, this week we saw the Federal Appeals Court in Richmond, Virginia, hand down a ruling that a transgender teen may proceed with suing his school board on discrimination grounds because it won't allow him to use the boys' bathroom. So in doing so, the court basically deferred to the U.S. Education Department's position that transgender students should be able to use bathrooms that match their gender identities. Did this kind of case play into the draft guidelines that you've drawn up?
Well, not this case in particular, but Title IX certainly does. Title IX is the federal law that says any public educational institution or any educational institution that receives federal dollars cannot discriminate based on sex. And really, that's the impetus for this document that we've provided. A lot of schools are now taking a look at Title IX, which is something that has really kind of risen to the forefront because of federal conversations about things like sexual assault and sexual discrimination. And they had legitimate concerns. Are we complying with Title IX? What do we need to do to make sure that we are in compliance? And that's why the draft guidance was created, to give schools that kind of guidance.
So could districts that do not adapt these guidelines be opening themselves up to future federal discrimination lawsuits?
Well, you know, if they choose not to adopt these guidelines, they still have to adopt probably something that will guide their how they treat students within their schools in order to be compliant with Title IX. So they can opt not to use them, but these are issues that they definitely need to be thinking about.
Cassandra Elbridge is Vice President of the State Board of Education. Cassandra, thank you so much for spending time with us and being with us on Stateside.
Thank you.
And we did reach out to Representative Phil Potvin to request an interview, and he declined.